Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good morning, good morning. I see the first one in the house is Betty Jo Tucker. A movie at a headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. She gets the first plug because she's the first one in. That's how it goes, right? Okay. How are we going to start our day? I don't know. Let me check it out and see what I want, which way I want to go. How about a little Chuck Colombo doing his this donk Chuck Colombo? And now the comedy of
So, I was a lousy Jew. But I never fit in with the other Jews who were also lousy Jews. See, I knew so many Jews my whole life who were lousy at being Jewish. But it didn't seem to bother them. They never went to temple. They didn't fast on Yom Kippur. They were atheists. They were Jews only in the sense that they lived on the Upper West Side, bought their bagels at H&H, read the New York Times, and once a month had brunch at Barney Greengrass and ate pastrami. So like cafeteria Catholics, they were delicatessen Jews. Except the Koreans moved in, took over, there's no more delicatessens. So they're actually Korean fruit stand Jews. I apparently look Irish. I have no idea how this happened. It doesn't help that I have rosacea, so my face is always flush, like the Irish. Their face is always flush because they drink. That's not racist, that's just a statement of fact. Please, if you take only one thing away from this show, let it be that. All Irish drink. So, see, I wanted to be a good Jew, but I also never fit in with the Jews who are good at being Jews. See, with them, it was like they all spoke a secret language I didn't understand. Actually, they did. It's called Hebrew. But still, I would try. I would try. When I was single, every year, alone in my apartment, I would light a Hanukkah menorah. And then, just to complete the ritual, I'd feel obliged to buy myself a Hanukkah present. Which is not only sad, but a little awkward. Because invariably, I'd buy myself the wrong thing. Like a tie and a pattern I already had. Then, I married an Irish Catholic. I proposed to her on Christmas Eve in Rockefeller Center, underneath the biggest Christmas tree in the world. And I told her if we had kids, she could raise them Catholic. Because I know how to woo a Gentile. So we had kids. And we raised them Catholic. Which actually works out fine. That's fine. Except, I think my kids might be a little anti-Semitic. Just a little. You hear comments? I don't want to make a big deal. The other day, my four-year-old son asked me if I'd buy him his own real car, you know? I thought that was kind of cute. I said, no, Dad, he can't do that. That would cost too much money. You know what he said? He said, you people. That's all you have to think about. My kids built a clubhouse in the backyard. I asked if I could join. My 8-year-old pulls me aside. He says, look, if it were up to me. The other day, I told my kids to turn off the TV. When I left the room, I swear one of them said, see, I told you they control the media. Also, as a kid, it did seem to me that the Gentile kids had much better holidays than the Jewish kids. Oh, yeah, no. It all goes back to Christmas and Hanukkah. Every kid growing up knows Hanukkah can't compete with Christmas. First of all, what is Christmas? Oh, it's only the biggest birthday party in the world. What is Hanukkah? The Syrians were trying to kick our ass, so for 8 days we hid in the temple. It's essentially a festival of hiding. Every Jewish holiday is the same. The entire history of Judaism, thousands of years of getting our ass kicked. On the rare occasions there's a day we didn't get our ass kicked, that's a holiday. Passover. The Pharaoh was trying to kick our ass, so we put some lamb's blood on the door, and the angel of death got confused, so we fled into the desert, where we got lost for 40 years, and nobody could find us, so they couldn't kick our ass. Okay, happy Passover. Enjoy your bitter herbs and horseradish. Yom Kippur. I'll tell you what you do. For one day, you don't eat anything. Then you'll be so weak and headachy from hunger, maybe people will feel sorry for you. For one day, they won't kick your ass, okay? Happy Yom Kippur. Enjoy your delicious nothing. Hanukkah. For 8 days, we hid in the temple. They couldn't find us. They couldn't kick our ass. Oh, yeah, what happened on the ninth day? On the ninth day, they found us. They kicked our ass, okay? Happy Hanukkah. Go play with your dreidel. That's another thing. Christmas. Presents, toys, gifts, money orders, cash, appliances. Hanukkah, what do you get? You get a dreidel. What's a dreidel? It's a top. It's a disappointing present for a kid of any age. Oh, we try and jazz it up with a big musical number, right? Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. You get that? You get the angle? You don't even get the dreidel. You get a lump of clay. They tell you, go make your own dreidel. Hanukkah. It's a Hebrew word. You know what it means? Loosely translated. It means the Irish kid who lives next door is getting a new bike. And you're not, Shlomo. obviously I had given the subject a lot of deep theological thought. I began to consider the possibility of converting. I was attracted to the camaraderie of Catholicism, as depicted in such motion pictures as The Godfather and The Godfather 2. I wasn't the first Jew in show business to convert to Christianity. There was Bob Dylan, and all right, I was the second Jew in show business to convert to Christianity. Bob Dylan, of course, wrote Blowing in the Wind. I wrote the following joke. I wonder if strippers have a recurring dream where they suddenly find themselves at work with all their clothes on and no one staring at them. Here you had the Catholic Church, an institution known for completely controlling the message, going against character, and attempting to produce talk radio, a medium that thrives on the free and unfettered exchange of ideas and dialogue. As their morning show host, they've hired an opinionated, loudmouth Jewish comic, going against character and attempting to be a good Catholic. Gee, what could possibly go wrong? So, to make myself more comfortable, I started booking all my comedian friends to come on the show. Here's a partial list of some of the comedians I had on the show. Jackie Mason, Freddie Roman, Stewie Stone, Corey Kahaney, Susie Essman, Brad Zimmerman, Michelle Ballard, David Steinberg, Maya Ed Koch, Alan Zweibel. Basically, I booked every Jew at the Friars Club. David Brenner came on the show. He told us all about being a young Jewish boy growing up in a tough Irish Catholic neighborhood in Philadelphia. One day, he's walking down the street, and this big Irish kid comes running out of a church. He runs up to Brenner, punches him in the nose, knocks him flat on his ass. Brenner looks up, he says, "What the hell did you do that for?" Kid says, "Because your people killed Christ." Brenner says, "Wait a minute. First of all, that was like 2,000 years ago." Kid says, "Yeah, I know, but I just found out about it today." After a while, Cardinal Egan's agent got a little nervous about me. He said to me, "We don't mind you having all your comedian friends on the show, but don't you at least know any Catholic comedians?" So I booked Lisa Lampanelli. I told her to keep it clean. It was a short interview. We would have Catholic celebrities on the show, but usually by accident. I booked Richard Simmons to come on the show. I thought that would be a hoot. Richard Simmons on the Catholic channel. Well, it turns out Richard is a devout Catholic. He told us all about his vast collection of little tiny baby Jesus dolls. Apparently, Richard Simmons has hundreds and hundreds of little tiny baby Jesus dolls. We were all surprised to hear that Richard Simmons had hundreds of baby Jesus. Actually, no one was surprised to hear that Richard Simmons had hundreds of baby Jesus dolls. I was out of options. I mean, what club would take me in now? I could become a Jew for Jesus. They're actually quite nice. I was talking to one before the show. I was rushing to get down here. I was running a little late. Woman stopped me on the street. She said, "Excuse me, sir, I must talk to you. I'm a Jew for Jesus." I said, "That's nice, lady. I'm a Jew late for work." I began to consider the possibility of maybe converting back to Judaism. But how do you convert back to Judaism after you've converted to Catholicism? I mean, what do? Walk out of the church backwards, uncrossing yourself?
People and society, corporations run your lives. I mean, they don't the water.
Mike Rocket. Oh, look who's in the house. Marco Polo Cyanide's in the house. Hello, Cyanide. Betty Jo Tucker. Well, I guess I should know who's on your show next week because I think I am. Is this a rebroadcast, I assume? Nancy Lombardo, George Benger, and Steve Mendoza reveal their choices for greatest film comedians, past and present, at Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Check her and us out. There you go. There you go. Okay, let's keep it moving with some. I'm trying to find something different. And let's see what we got here. All right, I hope everybody's having a good summer. I'm out there doing yard work. How about some Vanessa Hollingshead? She's pretty funny. And if I can find her again. Okay. And, well, until I do, why don't we... this one I love.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. You call me, Chief?
Yeah, it's the dragon again, devouring maidens. The king's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. You got a lead?
Nothing much to go on. Say, did you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah. You were right.
I was right?
Yeah. It was a gun. 8:22 p.m. I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured. Could I talk to you, ma'am?
Who are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the man. Is that right, dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He banged me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man. Stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir. Could I talk to you for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't they pick you up on a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah? So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir. We heard it was a dragon operating in this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Would you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts, sir.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
Purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead, and like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he's just a run-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3:05 p.m. I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey, I'm the fire-breathing dragon. You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new 45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pinned that rap on me. Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
On September the 5th, the dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out, and his maiden devouring license revoked. Maiden devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
Okay. Betty Jo Tucker in the house. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Listen this week, because I'll be on it, and you don't want to miss that. No, you don't. And, oh, boy, it's really nice outside, isn't it? It is just gorgeous. You got to love this kind of weather. And here we go, Jessica Delfino on Hipsters.
I'd really like to help, but I must confess, every time I buy a latte, I'm just adding to the mess. I'm a hipster, gentrifying this whole town. I'm just a hipster, and I'm gentrifying this whole town. So the graffiti on the wall is fresh and isn't shared by gangsters. There's any more at all, it's all just ads for P.F. Chang's, and I'm contributing by stepping out, but no one.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? Move in, move in, move in. Stop. The tour is about to begin. Manhattan is an Algonquin Indian word. It means, will that be cash or charge? We're walking, we're stopping. Manhattan is a city of cultures, active cultures and bacteria, so don't touch anything. We're walking, we're walking, we're walking, we're stopping. We're now facing the Hudson River. There is the Statue of Liberty. She stands 305 feet above sea level. In her right hand, she's clutching the Torch of Freedom. In her left, a Gucci knockoff bag. We're walking, we're walking. Walk over him, he's okay. We're walking, we're walking, we're walking, we're stopping. We are now at Wall Street, facing Trinity Church. Burial ground for Captain Lawrence, Robert Fulton, and as pictured on the $10 bill, Alexander Hamilton. Now might be a good time to point out, Piping is not a town in China. We're walking, we're walking, we're walking. We're now on Wall Street, Federal Hall, the first capital of the United States. Across the street is the New York Stock Exchange, where last I saw my capital fall. We're walking, we're walking, we're being mugged, we're getting mugged, we're bleeding, we're okay. Our last stop will be historical Greenwich Village, where we will visit the ever-popular St. Vincent's Emergency Room. Remember, we're New Yorkers, we don't judge. Just don't wear white after Labor Day, everything else we let slide.
And now a little Renee and the Girls.
Thank you. the opening of the new German opera season at Covent Garden, and here is a preview of what you will be seeing.
In a little town where he's the leader of the village choir, and his voice is warm and mellow. He drives a fruit cart around the street, and everybody knows it. He doesn't sing or rave about his fruit, he simply blows it. Doing it all day long. It's better than any song. Though it isn't very pretty, you've got to admit it's cute. So all together, let it go. It certainly comes to stay. Hear him say, hey, fruit in season plenty there is. Apples, plums, and the old raspberries. It's a special day. Every Friday night when work is done, he never wastes a minute. To the village hall he hurries round, where he sings just like a linnet. To hear him blow a melody, it's great, you can't deny it. And if you've nothing else to do, I'd like you all to try it. Get ready and do it now. It's easy when you know how. Though it isn't very pretty, you've got to admit it's cute. So all together, let it go. It certainly comes to stay. It's a treat to hear him say, hey, don't he laugh so far, me rato. Everything is fresh today.
Say the secret word and the deck will come down and pay you $1,000. You're listening to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo! What is it, Carly? What is it? I want to listen to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts.
Your host of the Amazing Thing, this is Jackie Mason, and you're listening to Comedy Concepts with my good friend Nancy Lombardo right here on the wonderful station on Blog Talk Radio. If you knew it, if you only knew what you were hearing, you'd understand that this is the greatest program a person could ever have. Nancy Lombardo right here at Comedy Concepts.
Hey, that was George Benzer from Mom and Pop Shop, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. on Dreamstream Radio. And don't forget, you can listen to George and I on Betty Jo Tucker tomorrow at Movie Attic Headquarters, 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Every Tuesday, it's Betty Jo Tucker with all the skinny, as they say, all the skinny on the movie industry. Always fun. Okay, let's keep it moving here. George was in the house, then he was gone. What's up with that? I don't know. He was here, and then he was gone. I was going to talk to him some more, but okay, he's gone. That's all you can do, Nancy. He's gone now. Just let him go. He's gone. All right. Philip Gambry. Let's see. Where are you? I have it, and I lost it. Okay. It's hard being on the road and trying to do the shows because I'm working on a tiny computer here, but we'll find something to wake you up with. Let's see. Here we go.
All right, let's see here. They'll say, what are you having? Let me see, soup, salad, or sandwich? Such a tough choice. I think I'm gonna have a frittata. Oh, that's a good one, that's a good one. Yeah, let me get a grilled chicken with some chipotle mayo. Oh, good choice, Forrest. So, tell me what you've been up to these days, Steve Dave.
Oh, me? Yo, I'm ballin', working for the man. Cause he hooks it up with a dental plan. Matches 1-to-1, I'm out 401k. And I don't even got a drug test to take. Waking up early makes the day sublime. Get all my errands done and get home in time to watch more. We discussed it at the coffee station. I got a raise last year to adjust for inflation. I love working all week, yo, let's not pretend. It helps to fully appreciate the weekend. Dressing up all slick and rocking ties and picking up the working chicks at the happy hour. On the daily, I'm selling advertising, baby. I got a cubicle in case you want to visit me, maybe. Gotta pay for the print. Yo, it's all gravy. I got a laser jet in the hallway, lady.
I love my job.
Chilling with my bosses.
I love my job. Got direct deposit.
I love my job.
Taking company lunches.
I love my job.
Hitting blacktop functions. Get to work, man.
Stop messing around, it's crunch time.
I wake up drinking 8 cups of coffee. Nothing gets my feet pounding on the concrete like some hot beats and corny jokes from the horny folks at the morning show. When I step into the obstacle, no one's my equal. I'm messing with the Oracle and even the sequel. I'm calling my people, thinking shots like a free throw. Between the meetings and greetings, I'm keeping my 3 goals. 1, the greatest with the Cognos report. 2, winning every fantasy sport. 3, I cast spells like a magician. See, I teach my co-workers to increase their efficiency. In the evening before I'm up in the lab, I'll be drinking with my bosses on the company tab. But it ain't all play, we'll be keeping it relevant. Discussing our future corporate development.
I love my job.
Chilling with my bosses.
I love my job.
Got the right deposit.
I love my job.
Taking company lunches.
I love my job.
Hitting blacktop functions.
Get to work, man. It's time to create some white papers.
Nice, man. That was a good power lunch.
Yeah, it was delicious. What's going on with you tonight?
Just gonna go home, watch a sporting event.
I hear that. How do you get home?
Oh, I take the path. What about you?
Oh, I take the water taxi.
Nice, man. All right, well, I'll see you later.
Alright, have a good one.
Thank you. That was so sad. Yep, time goes fast when you're multitasking, doesn't it? It's the end of our show, pretty much, the last 2 minutes. Thank you, Cyanide, for tuning in. I know you're at work. I think you're going home now, right? This is when you go home? I think you do. All right. What better way to play us out than, let's see, we got 2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. Here we go. A little procrastination, right? This is for you, Cyanide. For you.
My girlfriend just dumped me.
Aw, maybe I can help.
You say your girlfriend dumped you, and you feel like you've been cursed. But try and look on the bright side, it could always be much worse. Like you could break your dominant hand, or burn your tongue on corn on the cob, or have your laptop charger fried and get demoted at your job. Like you could have a leaky roof, or have your home go up in flames, or get into an accident and have insurance reject your claim.
That's not so bad.
Oh yeah?
It could always be worse. You just wait and see, it can always be worse. Glad it's not happening to me, it can always be worse. How much worse could it be? Let's find out, shall we? Like losing all your income and turning to the streets, then rummaging through garbage cans just for a bite to eat. Like getting life in prison for a crime you didn't do, are coming down with smallpox. Call the rise curvy too.
Aren't those a little far-fetched? Maybe, but...
it could always be worse, worse. You just wait and see. It could always be worse, worse. Glad it's not happening to me. It could always be worse.
Oh yeah.
How much worse could it be? Well, find out, won't we? So what if your girlfriend dumps you? You'll do fine on your own. It could always be much worse unless you die alone.
Oh,
oops. Well, you could drown in toxic waste or get impaled by a unicorn. Like being mistaken for an easy chair or stepping on a thorn.
And then being ripped apart by lions.
Like being enslaved by mountain men or flung from a trebuchet. Like being devoured by giant crabs or floating through the Milky Way.
These are ridiculous.
Still, it could always be worse, worse. And now I'm sure you can see it.
Now
it always
can
be worse, worse. Glad it's not happened to me. It can always be worse.
Oh yeah.
How much worse could it be? We found out, haven't we?
Fine, you win. It could always be worse.
You're welcome. Well, gotta go. I've got a date.
Okay. Thank you, Marco, for staying in till the end. All right. Big kiss. Bye-bye. Comedy Concepts Blog. Radio. Don't forget, my CDs are available on CD Baby. Bye-bye.